12 soul contracts. Do you know what they are? Let's talk about it. I find this topic, soul contracts, incredibly fascinating right now. But before we dive into deeply, let me ask you this. What do you believe? Where do you come from? And where do you go when your body one day ceases to exist? Do you believe in the universe, or in God, or in Allah, in the quantum field? We all believe in something slightly different, and there are many, many names for the same essence. Whatever we believe is true for us, and I personally love the diversity of spiritual perspectives. In my belief system, we are souls having a human experience here on Earth. And our task is to awaken, to remember that this is who we truly are. That's what people call the awakening. A few years ago, I came across the concept of soul contracts, and I personally found this perspective on life deeply fascinating. I'm curious what it might stir in you. Have you ever heard of the metaphor of the train of life? There's even a beautiful little animated video about it. The train symbolizes your life. People get on, others get off, and some ride along for your entire journey. Just like real passengers, they eat, they talk on the phone, they work on their laptops, they leave behind trash, or sometimes even get removed by the conductor because they didn't have a valid ticket. And life is exactly like that. The people in your life are like passengers on your train. We often think that family is everything, that they are the ones closest to us. But in my belief, we choose these people very consciously before we were born. Even if our parents didn't always treat us well or do us good, think back to your life for a moment. Or look at your life right now. Who's currently riding in your train? Have you ever had the feeling that some people didn't cross your path by chance? That they showed up at just the right time, exactly when you needed what they brought? Yes, that can sometimes be a little hard, especially when we're used to blaming everyone and everything else for our lives. I think I'm allowed to say this. I share something very personal with you. When I was 6 years old, I had a traumatic experience, like the worst kind of boundary violation that can happen to a child. I was mass raped by several people. And I'm not sharing this to shock you, but to show how deep the concept of the soul contracts can go, and how radically it returns responsibility and healing back to us. So I can really say, in good conscience, did I choose this? Did I make contracts with other souls who would support me in becoming the person I am today? That's a hard pill to swallow. Do you know the story of the little soul by Neil Donald Walsh? If not, I encourage you to read it and form your own opinion about it. When we talk about soul contracts, it is said that these are agreements we make with other souls before we were born. Something like, who enters my life? when and with what purpose. So in my case, did I arrange before birth to meet my rapist in order to become the strong, loving human being I am today? I can believe that. Yeah. And it would give my suffering meaning. I still remember, like yesterday, we have a conscious Advent calendar in Germany. And I think it was in 2023. I was scheduled for the 24th, December 24th, and I shared my story there. Ah, yeah. I said that today I can see it as a gift because I'm a beautiful human being nowadays. Yeah, I'm smiling because after that contribution, I was attacked for weeks via email by a psychotherapist. She always signed her messages with, "On behalf of the victims, on behalf of the victims." So what would it do to me if I saw myself as a victim for the rest of my life? Wouldn't that give a tremendous amount of power to my rapists? You see, it's a complex layered topic. Let's keep exploring soul contracts. A soul contract is an energetic agreement made before birth, naturally, with other souls. It's a bit like writing a script for your own life and then casting the roles. I have to smile as I say this. Was it like some kind of audition where souls tried out for the role of the villain? Well, with my story, I think I'm allowed to A, see it that way, and B, talk about it that way. But do I really want to believe that? I chose them all, even the difficult ones. Yeah, still a hard pill to swallow. What I learned next was there are different kinds of soul contracts, so-called primary contracts, secondary contracts, and tertiary contracts. I don't know if I say that right in English. Tertiary? Oh, you can correct me. And again, my mind creates this image of an office with interviews taking place. Who's best suited for the role of a child, a parent, a soul partner, or even an arch nemesis? Those are the primary soul contracts. Do you notice something here? The arch nemesis is mentioned in the same breath as the parents, children, and partners. Have you ever heard the saying that love and hate are very close to one another? Because they're both intense emotions and we give a lot of energy to. When you hate someone, when you hate someone deeply, you think about them a lot. You send a great deal of energy their way. So primary soul contracts are the people we allow to come really close to us. Secondary soul contracts are people who have a significant influence on our lives, at least for a period of time. Like early childhood educators, teachers, ex-partners, or close friends. And yes, those can have a real impact on our life. I, for example, had a wonderful Latin teacher, Mrs. Scratch. I was terrible at Latin, but I was very talented when it came to Roman literature. So in order not to fail the class, I rewrote the Aeneis into a theater play, rehearsed it with my class, and we performed it at a Roman theater festival in Xanten, Germany. So instead of failing a grade, I got a barely passing one, but more importantly, I gained the belief we do not all have to be the same, that there's always a way if you're willing to put in the effort. Mrs. Gretsch had a big impact on my life. She's no longer alive. So did we make a secondary soul contract before I came to this earth? I find that a fascinating question. So tertiary, or however you say that word, contract, the third important one, those are the third most important one. And once again, a heartfelt thank you to Mrs. Gretsch at this point that I can even understand this word. These are very brief encounters that have a wonderful impact on us. And, oh, I really have to think about that one. So have I experienced something like that? Yeah, maybe. There was a situation where I spoke with a potential client for my business training. We were talking like about her positioning, her how she goes into the market, and that was a very feminine woman. She had a soft voice, she had big round eyes, she was absolutely beautiful, very gentle and calm. And somehow I could sense a lot of anger in her despite her calm presence. And the longer we talked, the more I could feel that anger. And at one point I just said to her, maybe you could offer like screaming workshops in the forest for women so they can scream out all their anger. And she was completely perplexed and at first rejected the entire idea. Toward the end of our conversation, it came out that she hadn't spoken to her parents in years because of significant abuse in her childhood and so much anger. She didn't become a client. We only had that one conversation. But that one conversation left an incredible impression on me. She was the first person who showed me that I can always, always trust my intuition, even when it doesn't seem that way at first. So that must have been a third tertiary contact. Think about your own life. Is there someone who showed up at exactly the right moment, who gave you a new insight about your life or your talents? An interesting perspective, isn't it? Think about it. So as souls, we do not only grow through pure love. Friction also moves us forward in life. Breakups, job loss, betrayal. I once heard someone say that most successful people do not come from wealthy families, but they have the drive to rise, to fight for themselves. And when I look at it that way, it makes a lot of sense to me. So can we be grateful for the people who broke our hearts, who betrayed us, who hurt us? I am incredibly happy today with my husband and equally grateful that he is the one that I'm happy with. I've learned a lot about relationships in my life and no, that wasn't always easy. But the beautiful relationship I get to experience today has benefited from all of that, from all of these experiences. So maybe, just maybe, pain is part of our soul's plan. Archetypally speaking, there's always the role of the antagonist, the initiator of change. It would be nice if we just got up and changed things on our own, wouldn't it? But how often do we actually do that? Most of the time, it takes that enough is enough moment. And probably it takes a soul who supports us in reaching that point. I have to admit, this perspective fascinates me. It gives me the feeling that I'm reclaiming my life. I'm not a victim of my circumstances, not a victim of other people. I'm taking it back. Definitely not in the spirit of that psychotherapist from back then. But what if we're the ones who end a relationship or lie or cheat? Honestly, I've done that. I've left behind a broken heart. I don't want to go into much detail, but I know that this person started a new chapter in their life after we separated and made a lot of changes. So today he's much happier than he ever was with me. I was the one who caused the heartbreak, not because I was cruel, but because I was honest. And sometimes honesty is the most painful thing we can give and simultaneously the most healing thing. I too have been the villain in someone else's story, a mirror. Through my behavior, I shook someone awake, set boundaries, and spoke my truth, even though it hurt the other person. So, do we not only have soul contracts with those who shake us awake or hurt us, but also in some stories, do we take on the role of the villain? Is it also love when we help others recognize themselves? Have you ever been the villain in someone else's life? It's a bit uncomfortable to admit. I know. What was the end result of that story? So, how can we tell whether we had a soul contract with someone? According to what I've read, unmistakable signs of a soul contract are recurring dreams. You dream about that person all the time. You have a deep emotional response and the sense of relief or completion when something comes to an end. That feeling when you just know it's done, even if it hurts. And I'm not sure whether the person I talked about will ever hear or see this video, but if you do, you're welcome. Because what happens when we avoid fulfilling our soul contracts? When we shy away from speaking the truth, or when we see ourselves as a helpless victim for an entire lifetime, that's when the spiral comes into play. The spiral, which I love so much, and sometimes I curse it. We're confronted with the same situations again and again, until we finally understand that our greatest challenges in life are also our greatest gifts. If our contracts aren't fulfilled, the energy remains bound, and we keep encountering the same people and situations over and over and over again. The lesson gets repeated and repeated and repeated. Oh yes, I know that one well. I'll tell you about it another time. So, an energy that remains unresolved, one you stay stuck in, will always call you back to it. If you'd like, I want to show you a simple but powerful exercise to dissolve a possible soul contract. So take a piece of paper or just listen and do it later. On that paper, you draw two figures. One of them is you. The other one is the villain in your life script. Place one figure on the right side of the paper and the other one on the left side of the paper. Now, really feel into it. Like, tune into the connection between the two of you. List everything painful that happened between you. And for each thing, draw a line connecting the two figures. Yeah? Like energetic cords between you and the other person. Many, many lines between the two bodies for all the hurt, every word, all the anger, the hatred, the despair, everything that happened between the two of you. If you can, and if you're willing, bring those intense emotions into your awareness. And then ask yourself, what was I meant to learn from this person? Let that sink in for a moment. And then say out loud to yourself, thank you. The contract is fulfilled. Thank you. The contract is fulfilled. And take a pair of scissors and cut the sheet of paper in half, separating the two figures from each other. Thank you. The contract is fulfilled. And you can close this exercise with three times thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And so it is. And then feel into your body. What has changed? Maybe there's spaciousness. Maybe there's still pain. Both are okay. You are in the process. You have the power at any given moment to take your life back, to let go of the victim role and begin to truly live again. Even if what happened was terribly and deeply painful, the perspective of soul contracts can help you clear your energy field, to release what's stuck and to reconnect with your soul, which, by the way, is just waiting for you. Yes, I like this concept of soul contracts. It helped me personally a lot to take on this perspective about my childhood and my life. So, what about you? Do you believe in soul contracts? If you feel there are soul contracts in your life that you haven't fully understood or resolved yet, then stay with me. I regularly share videos, podcasts, insights, and spaces that help you come closer to yourself. Let's keep walking this path together and realign with our souls. Love from soul to soul. Yours, Annie.